भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing with Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's description of the spiritual world. It is said that Raghunath Das Goswami's observance of devotional principles and practices were as immovable as lines in a granite stone. That means no matter what was the situation, even if he was ill, he would not change or alter his devotional principles. I think that's a very important practice or something to learn from us, because sometimes when it is good weather, we chant more. And when it's bad weather, that means when things are not going so well, we chant less. But even in old age, Raghunath Das Goswami would not change. You remember he had this practice of offering obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas a day. And in old age he was so weak that he sometimes couldn't get up after offering an obeisance because he was already very old. But he kept this principle up to the last moment. We find something like this also in Haridas Thakur's life. He became so old that it became almost impossible to chant his 3 lakhs of names each day. And then when old age was there, he became actually quite ill. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited him and asked him, Haridas, I hear you are ill. And he said, yes, my illness is I cannot finish my prescribed number of rounds. Just imagine these Vaishnavas, they would be so determined to uphold their devotional principles and practices that in English you say come hell or high water, you know, whatever the circumstances, they would keep it. Raghunath Goswami would drink every other day a little cup of buttermilk, that's all. He didn't eat sabjis or rotis, but just have a little buttermilk. He, just listen to his austerity, he wore only torn and discarded cloth. Weggeschmissene Kleidung. And his dress was, although he came from a very rich family, one kopen, one small chadar, something like, you know, to hang around here for the morning, and this chest would not be cold. And in the winter, he would dress in a torn quilt, eine zerrissene Decke. Now you might ask, what is the meaning of this renunciation? Is it really necessary? When you look at these great devotees, they didn't practice renunciation, but they were naturally renounced. It was a side effect of their bhava, of their love for Krishna, that they just did not take interest in material things. It said that Yudhishthira felt his jeweled necklaces and sandalwood as a burden when he felt separation from Krishna. He just, there is no consciousness in these liberated souls that, oh, it's nice to have a good car and a wristwatch and it's so on. They just don't find any interest in this. So Raghunath Das Goswami was very, very renounced. But once, my dear devotees, he was diagnosed by a doctor from Mathura to have overeaten on sweet rice. One day, you know, it was in the afternoon, the devotees were just coming to the kutir and of Raghunath Das Goswami. He had not yet opened. So they banged on the kutir. Oh, Das Goswami, oh, Das Goswami. We have come to the lecture of about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which you give every day, but the sun is already setting in the western horizon. Still you are not, you have not come out of your kutir. Oh, today I can't, said Raghunath. I have severe stomach pain. Oh, stomach pain? They came to the kutir. He was lying on the floor with his stomach, from stomach pain. They immediately brought a doctor with Baitonga, horse-drawn chariot from Mathura. The doctor, Ayurvedic doctor, felt his pulse. And he said, he is only accustomed to drinking buttermilk, but today he has overdosed on sweet rice. So they all became, they, all the devotees were very upset. They thought, it's also offensive, doctor. He is trying to imply that Raghunath Das Goswami has not been able to control his tongue today. But the doctor said, I can see it from the pulse. He's only drinking buttermilk. No, too much sweet rice there. Therefore he has indigestion problem and must take some digestive help. And he gave some digestive help. So later the devotees asked Raghunath Das Goswami, and he was very shy, but he said, yes, I've eaten too much sweet rice. How? Well, in my meditation I was serving Radharani, and she had had a wonderful feast with Krishna, and she gave me the remnants from Radha Krishna's sweet rice, and I ate a sufficient quantity. Oh. So here you can see from this incident in the life of Raghunath Das Goswami that for him to enter the world of Krishna was real. As real as for you is your stomach. You know, and what he saw and experienced in that world influenced what was here in this world. So we can, I told you this story so that you have faith as you hear now about Raghunath Das Goswami's description of another transcendental personality. Those of you who were yesterday here listened to Mukara, and how Mukara skillfully creates obstacles by in the divine pastime, and especially in the loving pastime with Radha and Krishna. So this Raghunath Das Goswami's mind has turned with yesterday's word to a very particular rasa. He has dealt already with the parental rasa, the friendship rasa, and now he's turning to the Madhuya, or Shringara rasa. And he will start with describing the foremost personality in the Shringara is Radharani, but her foremost servant. It's on 29. Sandra Prema Rasai Puta Pluta Priyataya Pragalbhyam Aptatayo Prana Preshta Vayasyo Anudinam Lila Bisaram Kramai Vaidakdhyena tata sakim pratisada manasya shiksham rasaya yejam karayati akanta lalito grinatu samanganai. I pray that Lalita Devi will one day accept me as one of her associates in her own group. She is flooded with the nectar of intense love for her two friends, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who are more dear to her than her own life. She is affectionately arrogant in their presence and daily arranges for their love journeys. In this way, Lalita Devi expertly teaches her friend Radha the art of loving anger. I pray Lalita Devi will one day accept me as one of her associates in her own group. Now, this is a very difficult text, and I have made many notes in order to try to say something on this. Raghunath Das Goswami describes Lalita Devi. There are eight main gopis, and amongst them Lalita is the foremost. She is 27 days older than Radharani, and also called Anuradha. Anu means to follow. She always follows Radha. She's always together, like her shadow. She has the qualities of a left-wing gopi, that is, audacity, you know, a very strong nature. Her complexion is slightly yellowish. It looks like cow urine, in other words. This is in Braj, a good thing, you know, you can... I was laughing when one of our Sharanagati team members said kukake. You know, we would never say this because that word is, we would say cow dung or goba, or because the cow and all her products can be nicely accommodated or compared with good qualities, but when we use a word like the one described for cow dung, we say kukake, then we cannot compare. You know, your pullover looks as beautiful as kukake. You know, that would sound offensive. You know, it must be cow dung. So Lalita looks slightly yellowish, in her complexion like cow urine. And her dress is like that of peacock feathers. She has the peacock feather ornament. She very much appreciates peacocks, and therefore her saris are made with peacock feathers, colors. Huh? Her mother is Saradi, her father Vishoka, her husband Bhairava, and if you want to know whose friend Bhairava is, he's the friend of the cowherd man Govardhan. It's all very, very nicely described. It's very concrete. It's very direct. Now, you must know, without the sakis, or girlfriends of Radha and Krishna, there would be no Radha Krishna Leela. They are not just friends, the sakis of Radha and Krishna, but they are the causes of Radha Krishna Leela. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the sakis expend the love, the pastimes, and the meetings of Radha and Krishna. They are like jewel boxes of trust and confidence. What this means is that the sakis tells Radha how much Krishna loves her, and they tell Krishna how much Radha loves him. And in this way, the love gets increased of Radha and Krishna. They help Radha and also Krishna to do their love journeys. These are called abhisaras. Abhisaras is a love journey which has the goal of meeting the beloved. Have you already started your love journey? It's high time to start it in Vrindavan. It's the love journey means just like in this world, a boy may make a journey to meet his beloved girlfriend, or the girlfriend makes a journey to meet the boyfriend. Radha and Krishna make journeys to meet each other. When it's a night like this, where the moon shines, Radha dresses in very, very dark. And silvery colors, so that she cannot be easily detected. But when it's very dark outside and no moon, Radharani dresses in very dark colors, so that again she cannot be detected. When there are snakes on the way, she bends forward and closes the mouth of the snakes, because she also, during her love journey, the anchor bells are taken off her ankles so that no one hears where she goes. Radha's anchor bells are famous all over Vrindavan. When they ring, everyone knows, here comes Radharani. So the sakis help Radha to travel to Krishna, and Krishna to travel to Radha. The sakis always increase the confidence of Radhika. When there are pastimes with Radha and Krishna, the sakis enhance it, the pastimes, by laughing and joking. So there is a very joyful atmosphere. So these are just four activities the sakis do. There are many more, like dressing them, so on, and these are the whole cause of the loving exchanges with Radha and Krishna. So without sakis, there is no Sringara Rasa. Therefore, you also need the mercy of the gopis in order to enter into that Rasa, into that world. Now, Lalita has a very unique contribution to this divine pastimes. She feels that Radha is too much under the control of Krishna, and that's not good. it should be balanced. The power should be balanced. Balance of power. and she always wants to show Lalita, you can't do. Lalita wants to show Krishna, you can't deal with Radha the way you want to deal with her. You must show more respect. For instance, there was an appointment, and Radharani had decorated the kunj very beautifully with flower arrangements. She waited and waited and waited, and Krishna did not come. Then her joyous expectation turned into grieving. She stayed up the whole night in the kunj, grieving and waiting. Lalita, it broke Lalita's heart to see the highly qualified Radharani in so much despair. So she posted herself at the entrance gate of the kunj, and when Krishna finally came, Lalita studied him very carefully, and by certain signs he could see that Krishna had spent time with another gopi. So when Krishna wanted to enter the kunj, Lalita stepped in his way. She took her finger like this and said, "You are not qualified to associate with my sakis. You are associating with less qualified gopis. You cannot come." And Krishna had so much respect when Radha said no, that he just submitted to Lalita without trying any further. Left the kunj, he went straight to the Yamuna. He put his crown down and his jeweled ornaments, and in great desperation he threw himself into the sand and rolled in the sand, wailing, "Radhe, Radhe, Radhe, I cannot see her. Lalita has forbidden this." This is how strong Lalita is. Finally, Virendra Devi came to him and said, "What happened? What happened? Lalita won't allow me." She said, "I'm not qualified to associate with Radha. But I had to go to. The gopis, it's easy for them to be only fixed on me, but I have to be many branched with my intelligence and take care of all my devotees. They just have, it's easy for them. They are a kanti, they are fixed only on me, but on one person. I have to take care of all my devotees. I'm fixed on all of them. Anyways, now I can't go." But the Devi said, "Do you want to know the way how to go and see Radha?" "Yes," said Krishna. "Shave your hair. Give up your dhoti, a dress in saffron like a proper brahmachari. Proper sannyasi. And then you go there and you beg for Radharani's anger. No? And for Radharani's man, and then Radha can give it to you, and then she is again inclined towards you." So Krishna, here's the point, he comes under the control of Lalita, and he does enjoy this tremendously, because this creates just another flavor in the dynamic ocean of rasa. The flavor is that Krishna is rejected. There's a verse in Ujjvala Nilamoni which I found, When Lalita saw Chitrasakhi, Chitrasakhi is very submissive, trying to pacify Radha's mind. Oh, Krishna is not so bad, you know. She immediately objected. Lalita said, "Oh, foolish girl, Chitrasakhi, better be quiet. I know that this king of cheetahs, Krishna, has won you over to his side. How amazing! Have you really forgotten that Radha once spent the whole night waiting for Krishna in some kunj in Govardhan?" So Radha should remain angry towards Krishna and don't talk her into being friendly to Krishna. I give you a tip, quickly leave from here. This is how Lalita is very arrogant or harsh and heavy. There is a very good part of this in how Lalita jokes with Krishna. She talked to Krishna heavily. "My name is Lalita. I'm angry, courageous, and cruel. Oh, cheetah, just let go of this famous chaste lady called Radhika if you want to keep your reputation. Krishna, you are nothing but a lusty bumblebee. To satisfy your inflamed desire, you want to enjoy others' property. You can go to your niece Kundalata. In my presence, not even the wind can touch my dear Sakhi Radha. So let her go, or otherwise I will attack you." When Krishna saw Lalita's angry face, he became conquered by ecstasy and manifested symptoms like weeping, trembling, and standing of his bodily hair on the edges. It is injured. It is. You must know, whatever happens in the ocean of love in the spiritual world, all the flavors which are there, because it is all, there's always the underlying theme of deep love for Krishna. Everything is favorable. In this world, when there is quarrel or when there is arrogance, it means the quarrel has overtaken the love. The arrogance has overtaken the love. The anger has overtaken the love. But in the spiritual world, there's always love for Krishna, and it's different intensities, and it overtakes the anger, and all of a sudden the anger is loving, is a spicy love. Takes over the rejection. The love takes over the rejection. So Radha may say no from the outside, but because she's so much love in the inside, she says come, and Krishna understands the come. So this is a very important thing. So when Krishna was chastised by Lalita so strongly, he became helpless with ecstasy, weeping, trembling, and bodily hair stand on end. He unknowingly dropped his flute. And Radharani catches the flute and whispers to herself, "This is the same flute which paralyzes the gopis' hand when they perform household duties." now Krishna's naughty flute is under my control. So then Radha puts the flute somewhere and prays to the flute, "Oh flute ji, who is so dear to Krishna, when you give me your mercy, I will give you many benedictions." So she talks to the flute. "I will bless you, saying, may you become faultless. May your heart overflow with the nectar of Krishna's lips. May you become very eloquent." That means you can talk nicely. "May you become charmingly slender. May you become the object of Madhava's worship." "But I want something from you in return. Please give me the nectar of Govinda's lips, which you drink continually, and then turn into a song that shamelessly enchants and subjugates the entire world." So Radharani says like this, "Oh flute, you have blessed me by giving me the emptiness in your heart. I also feel empty without Krishna, just like you who are empty inside. You have given me your lightness. You have given me the dryness of your body. And you have given me the eloquence, your eloquence, so that I constantly chant the holy names of Krishna, the king of Braja. But why are you not giving me the nectar of Govinda's lips, which you drink continually, and then turn into a song that shamelessly enchants and subjugates the entire world?" Huh? The flute drinks Krishna's nectar of the lips and then turns it into a song which enchants the whole world. "This pastime is possible because of Lalita's intervention." It is said that Lalita is so strong, so absolutely in control, that Radha does not dare to give up her man due to fear of Lalita. So in this way, Raghunath says, Lalita is so absolutely influential in Radha Krishna's Leela that I will pray to Lalita that she kindly takes my case serious. Also Rupa Goswami says to her in the same vein, "Oh Lalita, you are the best friends of Radha and Krishna. You accompany them when they sport in the cottages, in the forests, and in the hills of Braj. Please, Lalita, hear my prayer." And I have found this today at Govindakund, a very nice prayer to Lalita. "When will beautiful Lalita accept me as her aspiring maidservant? Then later she will offer me unto the lotus feet of Sri Radhika and will place me entirely at Radha's disposal for rendering various services according to her order. The way we Gaudiya Vaishnavas think about coming to Radha and Krishna is by going through a line of contacts. We will first worship in this world Rupa Goswami and his mood and ideas in Krishna Bhakti. Then Rupa Goswami will accept us as in his transcendental form, the form in Radha Krishna Leela. Rupa Goswami will accept us as in his form as Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari is in the party or camp of Lalita, then she will give us forward to Lalita. Rupa Manjari's dress is also like peacock's feather. So she accepts us. Rupa Goswami, we are followers of Rupa Goswami in this world, then we come in contact with her and with his Manjari form in the spiritual world, and from there it goes over Lalita into the group, into the service group of Radharani. These are all very esoteric concepts for beginners on the path of Krishna consciousness who still think they are the body. As long as you think you are the body, then it's very difficult for you to understand this. I'm not the body. It's actually a false dress for my eternal soul. This teaching that you are not the body is very foundational. Oh, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You enter the spiritual world by recommendation. Recommendations of Rupa Goswami to Rupa Manjari to Lalita Sakhi. But it said when Lalita Sakhi sees someone in Vrindavan being very eager to reach Radha's lotus feet, she will make an arrangement and come to that devotee and bring him to Radharani's lotus feet. May we all one day stumble over Lalita as we go through the paths. I've heard that some devotees tomorrow have decided to go on Govardhan Parikrama. That's a very good idea, because tomorrow the Brajavasis are on the roads everywhere. And maybe amongst them is one of Krishna's associates looking for new candidates. Today I had a very, very nice experience. I was leaving Govindakund, and it was a very mystical experience. I was on my bicycle, and all of a sudden I hear someone running after me. That way, and I can't see anyone. Then I'm driving and I'm looking, and I see a shadow next to my bicycle is dancing after the bicycle. And I'm quite fast. I was already late and I was hungry, like 10,000 Russians. So I see this head. So I'm again looking left, right, and there's absolutely no one there, only a shadow. And I'm continuing to drive. And then I'm again looking, and for a moment I see a beautiful cowherd boy running joyfully behind the bicycle. And then he's gone. I was remembering that here in Braj, that's what they say, the Krishna often comes in disguise to the devotees. I can't imagine that this was Krishna. I don't dare to imagine, but I just want to say it in Braj they say Krishna comes in many forms, like he came to Madhavendra Puri as a cowherd boy and offered him milk. Krishna does like this. I still must say, I think I had just chanted so much, and So the little boy, I don't want to say he, you know, it sounds so arrogant for me to say that Krishna would run next to the bicycle. That sounds, you know, no, I'm just you. What I'm saying is that this reminded me, you know, because it was just so mysterious. And it reminded me of Krishna appearing to his devotees, and one day the devotees all want that Krishna appears to them. And do you know when Krishna appears to a devotee? Krishna appears to a devotee when the devotee is qualified with love in his heart. I had another experience when I was driving with a bicycle to Govindakund. There was a loudspeaker announcing the program where we will be preaching, the program of Pundarik. Pundarik. And I was just driving behind the loudspeaker to hear what it says. Son of Sri Bhutim Krishna Maharaj, grandson of Atul Krishna Goswami, Sundar Katha, Binani Ashram, foreign guest. You know, so this much I could hear. I was going behind this loudspeaker, which was now going through the different villages of Braj to invite people, and I thought, these persons are so much higher than me. And here I'm here the program is announced in which I will take part. You know, and all of them hear it as they go and cut the vegetables. Foreign guest. Maybe go, you know. Oh, Krishna, this was Lalita. I hope you were able to get some nectar out of it. The real art is to become, you know, there are 8,401,000 species. The one extra species is the praying species. We should join this praying species. Praying for the mercy. Good, I'm finished here. Lalita Sakhi ki jai, Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai, Shri Braj Vilas Tava ki jai, Shrimati Radharani ki jai, Shri Kartik Devi ki jai, Radha Kund Shyama Kund Giri Govardhan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Krishna.